All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. Thanks for being here on this Russian Orthodox New Year's Day. You know, a lot of things have happened in the corona virus world here in the last week, and we've got vaccines starting to be given out to the general public starting right now, really. And then we have students who have gone back to school in greater numbers starting this week. I'm going to start with that. Peggy's got someplace to be at the bottom of the hour. So, Peggy, let me ask you, how did the return to classes for Homer High School students and middle school students, well, I guess all the students, go this week?
Well, I checked with our principals, and they were just so happy to have students back across the district. That's what's happening. Everybody's so happy to have students back. What I would ask is that parents continue to work with their principal. And remember, our pre-K through sixth graders are going every day, and 7th through 12th are on a split schedule. And we are looking at the leadership level at the district. What we're going to be doing is we start continuing to trend down into medium risk and looking at Southern Peninsula, and it's continuing to go down. So thank you, everyone. So we'll have that meeting today to see about when we might shift to medium risk, meaning that all students would be every day. But we do hear a lot of rumors out there and mistruths and things that aren't accurate. So please give a call to your school and talk to your school secretary, your student's teacher, the principal, to make sure you've got accurate information. And thank you for being patient as we're all working together and wearing masks. And this is still a really hard time, but we're so excited to have more kids back.
Were there any issues with, you know, students unfamiliar with the drill, kind of the first day of school again for them?
Good question. So I talked to some of our elementary principals, and they work with those kiddos, and our pre-K and kindergarten students have been coming, so they know how it works. And it's kind of like a first day of school for a lot of kids, and a lot of excitement and learning. And they're learning what the way that they're doing things and how they do it, and adapting pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. How many students are we talking about on each day compared to, you know, they're about half full in the middle school and high school each day on alternating days. How many students are we talking about every day?
I would say 50% of the students that would normally be there. So the way that the schools designed their A, B, or split schedules is a little different throughout the district. Not all schools did it the same way for the middle schools or high schools. So
yeah, I was more
we're
curious about
working
the
our
actual...
best to have as many students on site as possible, but keeping that physical distancing.
Right. I was more interested in the number of students, not the percentage. How many students are going to school every
right.
day?
Right. So I don't have the enrollment for each of the schools at my fingertips right now. I could get back to you with that, but I don't. We have different enrollment at all different schools with 42 of them.
Sure. Yeah, I would be interested in, of course, Homer Middle School and Homer High School, if you get around to that.
Okay.
What else can you tell us about the schools and COVID response?
Well, right now, everybody knows the vaccine's available for everybody who's 65 and older. So we do have some teachers that have gotten the vaccine and are very excited about that. And hopefully teachers are on this next level when we have more vaccines. And we want to thank everybody for, again, just being really patient with how this process is going. It's been a really long haul since March. And so there's just a lot of thanks to the parents and the kids and the teachers. And as we continue to adapt and respond.
All right, Peggy, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate it. Is there anything else you'd like
to add?
Thank you, and
I'm going to go over to the OEM call now.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye, everybody.
Peggy Irkineff, spokesperson for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. And she did mention the vaccinations were becoming available now for the general public. Let's turn to Dorotha Ferraro, spokesperson with the South Peninsula Hospital. on the city council meeting on Monday, you you mentioned to him that the appointments for that started today disappeared in just minutes. Could you tell us about how that process went with the appointments?
You bet. So I wish I could say flawlessly, but unfortunately, our demand was far greater than our supply, and we had a lot of disappointed folks, not only because they did not get an appointment, but just because of the experience with technology. We did provide a phone line for those that did not have internet, but the bottom line is that having internet and being able to navigate modules for appointments are two different things. And so we got a lot of feedback about coming up with a better, what would feel more equitable way to access appointments. And we look forward to using that feedback to improve that system. Within the first 8 minutes, we were able to book all of the appointments, and we had a few phone ones that took a little longer, but very shortly after opening appointments, they were all full. So we were told on Friday, just under a week ago, that we would be receiving 600 doses from the state, and that would be the first allocation that would be for the new tier that was eligible, which was the 65 and over. And just for perspective, we have 2,700 residents of the Southern Peninsula 65 and over, and we were getting 600 doses. So we were put in an impossible situation. But because of the extra dose in most of the vials, we took the leap and said, move that 600 to 660. And then we also had some doses remaining from the first phase and tier of vaccine rollout. So we opened 700 total appointments. And those are all full. And there is a wait list of already, immediately when it filled, we'd started a wait list. And then I closed the wait list after there were over 200 people on it, because it seemed unreasonable to continue collecting names when it did not seem reasonable that those would be utilized. So we are doing the clinic on Friday and Saturday. It'll be a great learning experience for all of us. It is run by the Unified Command, led by the City of Homer, with partnership of Public Health and the hospital, as well as several community volunteers and agencies and groups. So it'll be a pretty good community experience and event. We will learn a lot, and we will debrief next week and learn from the things that went right and make changes from the things that didn't go well and that could be improved, because we anticipate that this will be the first and the framework for continued rollout of the vaccines. The most obvious mm-hmm. question is, when are the next ones coming? And so we do not know. We are at the mercy of the state calling us and saying, hey, here's some more. So we don't know when the next one's coming, and we're not certain what the sign-up process and alert process will be for that. But we just really appreciate everybody's patience and understanding with the situation, and also that we do feel confident that hundreds and thousands of doses are eventually coming our way. This was we're nearing a year process, and so far with the pandemic, and folks might just have to wait a few weeks or a month longer, and we appreciate everybody's patience with that.
Mm-hmm, sure. A couple of questions. The folks who will get the vaccine tomorrow and Saturday, I misspoke at the top of the show. I thought for some reason today was Friday, but it's not. So the folks who are getting the vaccines tomorrow and Saturday, given that these vaccines are two-part vaccines, is there, what is the timeline? What is the time that they have to wait between shots? And is there a time where it's too long to wait?
That changes by manufacturer of the vaccine. So I don't want people to get locked in on number of days, because when then they get their dose, it might be different based on the actual manufacturer and vaccine that they're getting. The one that's this weekend is Moderna, and the recommended time until the next dose is 28 days. And we will be scheduling individuals' second appointments at the time of receiving their dose. So that's part of the agreement. When you get, when these 700 folks get their vaccine this weekend, that is part of the deal that you're making your appointment for the second dose, because it's really most, you know, all of the studies on these vaccines so far were done based on the study group having both inoculations. So that makes it one complete inoculation. Some of the information will definitely change. I want to predict that, because as more and more people get it, the study base, if you will, enlarges and more information becomes available. But right now it is in our state, following manufacturer recommendations, you are asked to do the second one.
Right. So 28 days, is that a minimum amount of time that you can wait, or the maximum time you got to wait, or is your appointment exactly 28 days later?
We are setting them up within a 3-day window of the 28 days.
Oh, okay. Huh, interesting. What's going on? Now, this is happening at the testing site on Bartlett Street, right? The vaccinations?
It is not. We have secured a location at a church to be able to run 10 vaccine stations at a time. So we are doing 10 appointments every 15 minutes. So we needed a very large room to set those up and be able to maintain the 6-foot distancing necessary for a safe environment.
Oh, cool. Well, where's it happening?
It will be at the Community Christian Church, but it is by appointment only, and there are
walk-ins
because of the long,
Right. No, I understand. I'm just curious where it's happening. And that was where? I missed it.
At the Community Christian Church on Bartlett Street.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, how are things going otherwise at South Peninsula Hospital vis-a-vis COVID this week?
Well, pretty good. We only have one employee out due to related COVID reasons, and we have had no recent hospitalizations. Numbers have definitely slowed here at the hospital. Our testing numbers are the positivity rate of our testing is very low. In the last week, we've received the results of 499 test swabs, and of those, 8 were positive, and that puts us at about a 1.6 positivity rate, which compared to the Kenai Peninsula is 2.6% and the state is 4%. So as far as the hospital testing, remember, we're not the only place testing on the Southern Peninsula, but based on hospital testing, positivity rate is very low.
That is good to hear. You know, I've over the last month, 2 months, I've seen pretty much universal mask use in Homer. I mean, I don't get out much, but still, there's a definite uptick over, you know, what was happening in the fall. And so I'm glad to see the numbers reflecting that.
It's one strategy and one, mitigation strategy that certainly works. And because it is so effective, it is required in all hospital buildings and facilities. And we do understand that some folks just can't wear a mask. And so we ask, if you do need to seek services from the hospital and you cannot mask, that you call in advance. It becomes a challenge if you just arrive without a mask, because the folks at the door, you know, their job is to make sure everybody has a mask on. So if you are seeking services and you know that you cannot have a mask on because of medical conditions, just please make sure and talk to the clinic before you arrive, because they'll create a special arrangement for you. For example, they might instead do telehealth, or they might make your appointment at the end of the day and use a special door, or have all of the extra PPE prepared for your visit. So we really rely on both parties having a procedure mask on, because we know then if one party ends up testing for COVID, testing positive, that the other one will not have to quarantine because of close contact, because they will both be in procedure masks. So just really, really thank people for understanding that.
Excellent. Anything else you'd like to add, Dorotha?
I think just, I think that's it. I'll toss the baton.
All right. Thank you so much. Jenny Carroll, are you still there? Do we still have you?
You do.
Oh, wow. You sound like you're,
I'm here.
You're,
can you hear
standing
me?
Behind me. Yes. You're standing right behind me in my ears. How are things with the city these days vis-a-vis COVID stuff?
Well, we are keeping up with the program of, moving into the vaccination phase while still being in the phase where we are supporting all the mitigation measures to keep our community safe and healthy. So there's been a big push towards supporting the event that's coming up this weekend. We rely on the health professionals for the vaccination, but I feel so grateful to be part of this community where so many partners get together to make this event happen. So as far as Unified Command, all of our attention has been placed recently on helping produce and make sustainable these vaccination clinics in town so that we can distribute the vaccinations as we get them from the state. I know that may change over time, but it's great that we have the partnerships and the strengths of those relationships built to be able to do this. So the city, we have Public Works Department involved with helping with the parking lot logistics. We'll have EMS personnel standing by, security, you name it. We're part of making this event happen. And so that's been our COVID focus of late. I'd like to say that I hope that people can arrive with patience and know that we are doing our best to move many appointments through in their 15-minute allotted time slots. So please only come to the Christian Community Church if you have an appointment. Please come at your appointment time. We'll be asking people to check in when they come in to the parking lot with an attendant there. And just please follow just the directions. And we're hopeful that we can move everybody through in an efficient manner. So those are things I'd like to point out to folks is please only go to the church if you have already registered and have a time slot for your appointment. And follow the directions of the folks who greet you at the parking lot. And lastly, I guess, would be please, even if you're in your vehicle, wear a mask. We have volunteers who will be greeting you at the parking lot, and we want to keep everybody safe. So please arrive with a mask. If you don't have one, there will be masks on site for you.
I'm buoyed by the response to the vaccine appointments opening. I'm thrilled that so many people want to take this vaccine. I know there's a certain segment of the population that will never take any kind of vaccine for one reason or another, but the response seems to be encouraging, don't you think?
Yes, I do. I it's great, and I can only imagine that. At least from my life, working from home, being separated at least physically from the work environment, it is very isolating. And the vaccines give us a glimmer of hope that we can get beyond the circumstances right now in our lives of what we need to do to mitigate. However, once you take the vaccine, even before your second dose and after, maintaining the mask wearing, maintaining the social distance until more research is out about the ability to transmit the disease after the vaccine will be very helpful. And so again, patience with the program here is encouraged from everybody.
Yeah. Thank you, Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer. Let's turn now to Lauren Carroll, no relation, as I understand it. with the Alaska Department of Public Health. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing good. Thanks, Jeff. I'm not directly related to Ginny, as far as I know, but might as well be. It's been a real pleasure working with this group over the past year.
That's great. Well, you know, I had some questions about the vaccine and the timing. What you know about the DeRotha said about the timing of the shots, is that line up with what you're aware of?
Oh, yeah, sure thing. DeRotha is, as expected, spot on. You know, when thinking about Pfizer vaccine, there's a couple of maybe take-home points regarding the two-dose series. Dose number two, after you get the initial vaccine, is due an interval of 21 days later. So with all vaccines, there's a minimum and a maximum amount of time to keep in mind for when you should get administration of the second dose. So the second Pfizer vaccine, the minimum amount of time needs to be at least 17 days after the dose number one has been received, and there is no maximum amount of time. So if you have some kind of emergency or just can't make it to your appointment, coordinating with that vaccine provider to give it as soon as possible, at least after 17 days, is permissible. So again, dose number one occurs at day zero for Pfizer, and dose number two at 21 days after dose number two. After dose number one, Moderna is a little bit differently, dose two, like Dorota was saying, is 28 days after number one, with a minimum of 24 days, and there's no maximum. So you can get that number two Moderna dose anywhere after 24 days after administration of number one.
Huh. Could you talk a little bit about why this vaccine and some vaccines are two-dose vaccines instead of, you know, what we get for, you know, other inoculations?
Yeah, that's probably a two-hour show. But the short of it is that these inactivated vaccines take time to build immunity. And, you know, vaccines, we kind of think about it in the world of healthcare. We kind of think about vaccines in two major categories. One would be live or attenuated or weakened viruses vaccines. And the second would be inactivated. So these inactivated vaccines, the mechanism of what makes that work is a little piece of the virus initiates an immune response, and it's that human immune response that creates antibodies that protects us from the virus or bacteria in question.
Oh. Huh. It's so that the one dose doesn't have to be too strong the first time? Am I reading that right? There's a reason that it's given twice, so you don't have to have that much in you at once the first time? Help me understand that.
Oh, Jeff, that's a good question. The main reason is because that's how the vaccine was studied in the initial vaccine studies. So the demonstration of that initial 30,000 people that received the vaccine or placebo, the study was based upon a two-dose series. And that's the main primary reason why folks are recommended to have two doses, based on science.
Oh, okay. The state of Alaska has had some commercials on TV and on the radio talking about the vaccine. One of the things I said made me curious. It said the reason the vaccine showed up so quickly is that as it was being developed, there were also trials at the same time. As the vaccines were being developed, could you talk about that a little bit? How does that work?
Well, you know, I don't know the specifics, but I do know some of the general approach to vaccine development. COVID-19 vaccine development happened quicker than any other vaccine in history. And that's in part because the federal government was had the resources that they allocated to quicken that time. But also just want to highlight or re-highlight that that doesn't mean that any safety measures were reduced. We still, as a nation, had to go through all safety precautions, just like any other vaccine.
Yeah. You know, maybe I'll look into it before next week's show and have a better question about those ads and how development can happen alongside production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure thing.
Yeah. Well, let's see. What else is happening in the world of the public health nurse here? You've been gone for a few weeks. Was that personal leave, or were you off doing another task for the department division?
Oh yeah. Well, after a year of COVID response, I needed a couple of weeks of rest. So now I'm back and well rested. In terms of Homer Public Health Center, all four staff are doing well. And kind of three of those are public health nurses, and one of them is the office assistant that kind of holds everything together. But just kind of thinking about all three of the public health nurses and what our daily work life looks like is one of them is spending 100% of his time doing contact tracing. And so what he's doing, that's Aaron Wahlbrecher, he's a public health nurse three. He coordinates very large teams of contact tracers. We've got about roughly 500 people in that large pool of part-time and full-time contact tracers. The second one is Mary Darbone. She's a public health nurse three as well. And she spends about 80% of her time doing the same thing, coordinating contact tracers. But the other 20% of her time she's spending holding up one of our competing highest priorities, which is right now, assuring that our vaccine allotments are delivered in the safest, quickest way possible at the local level. And then I'm kind of on a similar page. I'm spending about 60% of my time doing contact tracing and the rest of the time working on increasing access to COVID vaccine. Now, that's a very simplified version of what the three of us are doing. We're also continuing to maintain protective measures for the entire community, like investigating other communicable disease cases as they arrive.
It's 9:30. You're listening to the COVID Brief. I'm your host, Jay Barrett. I've got folks from the Unified Command and beyond on the air here today, Russian Orthodox New Year's Day, talking about the COVID brief. We've heard that the positivity rate is down, vaccination reservations got filled very quickly, and they start tomorrow. Lauren, I wanted to ask you. You mentioned contact tracing. I'm super curious about how that goes. I haven't apparently been around anyone who's mentioned me as a contact. So, what would it be like if you called me up and said, "Hi, Mr. Barrett. We understand you knew so-and-so, and they now have COVID." Is that how it goes, or?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good, Jeff. In a nutshell, you kind of got it. Contact tracing really rides on several decades of experience of investigating communicable diseases within the Division of Public Health. And when I talk about division here, I'm speaking not only of the section of public health nursing, that's about 158 folks statewide, but also the section of epidemiology and the section of laboratories. And so there's a couple of backbone pieces that are important to kind of think about or discover or remember is that the drivers for this are embedded within Alaska's Constitution. And Alaska's Constitution says that the health of the people of the state it's the state's responsibility. And then we have several Alaska statutes that drive what it is that we do. And many of those speak to communicable diseases. And the important thing to think about when you pick up the phone and it's me calling you, Jeff, is that all of that information is confidential. So I'll say, "Hey, Jeff, you've been listed or named as someone who was in direct contact within 6 feet and for longer than 15 minutes with someone known to have had COVID and during their infectious period." And so I'm not going to tell you, Jeff, who that was, but I'm going to tell you that confidentially you were in contact with someone and then give you instructions on how to keep yourself safe, but also your family members, friends, and your community. And so what that looks like is staying at home, quarantining, And then also seek testing and contact your medical home if you exhibit any signs and symptoms that are consistent with COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. What would the interview be like with somebody who did test positive and you're trying to get information from them so that you can alert others?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. If you've submitted a specimen and that specimen turns up positive for COVID, whoever collected that specimen and the laboratories are mandated by Alaska statute to contact the Division of Public Health or report that positive. Now, that positive has entered to a system, what we call ComCare, and we actually built ComCare just for COVID-19 contact tracing. And that enters what we call a centralized staffing matrix, or all the contact tracers. So they get a hold of your confidential information and then look to make contact with you. So they'll call you as soon as possible and say, hey, Jeff, I've got your lab report right here. It showed positive. How are you doing? How's your family? And then start to open up instructions for how to maintain isolation and decrease the chance that you having a positive COVID will transmit that virus to other hosts.
Is there an onus on the infected person to contact their acquaintances, or is that taken care of by your phone call?
Yeah, it's best thing, if you know that you're positive, the number one best thing to do would be, number one, isolate yourself from others. And then number two, make a master list or reflect on the list that you've been keeping of the folks that you've been in within 6 feet and 15 minutes of. Those would be contacts. And the timeline would be, the moment that you start to have signs and symptoms, just go back 48 hours and start making a list of your contacts from there. And so a good way to do that would be just pick up the telephone and say, hey, Lauren, FYI, I turned up positive. We were together yesterday at noon for over 15 minutes. This is your heads up. You should quarantine. And how are you doing? And if that person's having any signs and symptoms, that'd be a great opportunity to recommend that they call their medical home and seek testing. You know, South Peninsula Hospital has a testing operation, and you could touch base with that COVID nurse at 235-0235.
One second. Technical difficulties here on my end. I'm not sure how to form this question. It has to do with if you're the person who is ill and you contact them, Here's the question.
Are they legally obligated to give information?
Yes, talk to you. Yes, that's exactly what I wanted to ask.
Yeah, that's a great question. In the state of Alaska, the state is the covered, the Department of Health and Social Services is the covered entity or the legal authority for administration of measures that protects the public. So yes, by law, you're mandated to work with the DHSS or the local public health authority. So that would be a public health nurse or a contact tracer would be two examples. But I want to make a really important point here is that we're not in the business of law enforcement. That's the ownership of those responsibilities is public safety. You know, our approach to individuals, families, community, and systems is really, our success really hinges on our ability to create a healthy and positive relationship. So it's not often, I can't even think of a single time when we've contacted our public safety partners in order to be more forceful, because we really just don't need to do that. Usually what we find is individuals, families, and partners work really well with this.
Excellent. You know, I think I've run out of questions. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add here right at the end of the show?
I think I'd just add one more thing. Okay. You know, vaccine for COVID-19 has hit Alaska, and that's a great thing to celebrate. You know, when I last looked at the vaccine dashboard for Alaska, about 8,000 series have been completed in the state of Alaska, and that represents about 1% of our population. So it's a great start, and we've got a long way to go. So I guess I would say hang in there. And now would be a good time to call up those friends and family and stay in close contact with them.
You know, I was going to actually, that was another question I'd forgotten I had from last week. At the rate that we are, as a state, inoculating people, when do you think we'll be done?
Well, that's a great question, but we wouldn't be able, none of us partners would be able to answer that unless we knew how much vaccine was coming next and when the timing of that vaccine is coming. What we do know is that vaccine allotments are coming on roughly a monthly basis, and we don't know the numbers until we get a heads up. So at this point, it's very much step by step, and it's going to be a long haul. It's going to take quite a while.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Jenny, are you still there, or Dorotha, are you still with us? Do you have anything you'd like to add here at the end?
I'm still here, and no, I don't have anything else. I look forward to working through the further phases of how the vaccine rolls out, and I thank KBBI for giving us this venue.
Always happy to have you on. Well, if that's
I'll
it,
just,
then I,
I'll say
oh,
ditto
sorry,
to
ahead.
Jenny. Nope, just I agree with Jenny.
Excellent. Thank you, Dorotha. And so thank you to Dorotha Ferraro, Jenny Carroll, Lauren Carroll, no relation, and Peggy Erkineff for coming on the COVID brief today. I appreciate all of you taking the time every Thursday to talk to us. It's valuable to our listeners, and I want you to know we really appreciate it. So happy New Year's Day on the Julian calendar. And this is Jay Barrett saying thanks, and we're going to send it back to Josh in the studio.